Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. It is the day after the Eagles' loss on Thursday night to the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to hear from Chip Kelly in just a bit. We want to hear from you Eagles fans, Eagles 1-2 after a couple of losses here. This span of three games in 11 days, what does it mean in terms of how you feel about the team, where they are, the progress the team has made, and the areas in which the Eagles must make more progress. Last night, a tough one for the Eagles. The offense turning the ball over four times, another turnover on special teams. The Eagles defense playing okay at times, putting pressure on the quarterback, unable to take the football away, unable to stop Kansas City late in the game. The Chiefs winding more than 8 minutes off the clock to go ahead and kick that final field goal, which made it a two-possession lead. And Donnie Avery on third downs, a killer in the crossing route game. It'll be interesting to hear what Chip Kelly has to say about that after watching the film and trying to break things down. The Eagles missing a bunch of tackles, and Avery using his speed to get up the field. Jamal Charles, a solid game as well. Just not enough for the Philadelphia Eagles. On a night that was really an opportunity to be so special with Donovan McNabb's retirement at halftime, with the return of Andy Reid, a lot of emotion to Lincoln Financial Field, a lot of electricity, crowd fired up, great crowd on hand, just not to be for the Eagles on this night. So pick up the pieces here during the weekend. It's a critical weekend for Philadelphia. The players off until Tuesday. We'll see what kind of self-review, self-analysis the coaching staff will have for this weekend. Let's get you caught up with the day's headlines. Chris McPherson doing the duties.
In running back LeSean McCoy. He had 158 yards on the ground despite missing time late in the first half due to an ankle injury. He returned in the second half and in the fourth quarter turned out a 41-yard touchdown run. It was the fifth touchdown run in the fourth quarter of 40 yards or more in his young NFL career. Folks, that is already an NFL record. So superlative performance by LeSean McCoy. Improved performance by the defense last night, even though they were not able to get off the field in that key fourth down drive. They held the Chiefs to just 1 of 6 opportunities in the red zone, and the Chiefs were only 33% successful in third down attempts. Again, they have to clean up some things in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, an improved performance by the defense. Very emotional night at Lincoln Financial Field for the retirement ceremony of Donovan McNabb's number 5 going up in the rafters. Coming up a little later in the show, Chip Kelly will tell us what he learned from Thursday night's game and start to look ahead with some time to prepare for the Denver Broncos. And the Eagles players will get back to work on Tuesday after three games in 11 days. They'll have 10 days to prepare for that game in Denver. So it'll be a much needed break for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's send it back to Dave for more on Eagles Live in the Xfinity studio.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good job there. Tough day, the day after a loss that in a game that meant so much for the fans of the Eagles. To get to 2-1 would have been very nice. The Eagles got to bounce back from this one. Three straight road games to follow, so certainly the challenge is there for the Eagles. We take a look at some of the numbers from Thursday night. A very, very efficient game from Alex Smith, as expected. Moved around the pocket well. 22 of 35, spread the football around. Kept the chains moving. Donnie Avery, the big game receiving. Houston, 4.5 sacks last night. That was changed now to 3.5 sacks. He and Tama Ali coming off the edge, giving the Eagles a lot of problems. And, you know, that was just a really difficult matchup for Philadelphia. Eagles thought that certainly this offensive line had a chance to be dominant, winning that war, winning that battle. Didn't happen. And when the offensive line doesn't win the battle, the rest of the offense really struggles. We've seen that. LeSean McCoy was brilliant. Michael Vick pressured too much and at times just not as on target as he has been through the first 2 weeks of the season. No interceptions in the first 2 weeks, two of them last night for the Eagles. So we take some phone calls in just a bit. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Find out how you're feeling about the Eagles. We've also got Chip Kelly coming up, and we're going to dig into what happened last night a little bit more deeply as Eagles Live moves into the afternoon here, and we get a bit of a perspective on the loss to Kansas City. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a two-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity.
They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV.
Oops.
Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Dave Spadaro back with you here. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Let's get to some telephone calls, and we want to break down a little bit more deeply what happened last night. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Ty. Ty, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show. I just want to talk about what happened last night with the team. Actually, the game that I really had circled when I saw the schedule was the game that we're going to have next, because with Chip Kelly's offense being so fast, I was wondering if we would even be able to keep up with that pace in the mountain, out in the mountain high.
So, yeah, I mean, look, hey, Ty, the speed of the offense right now is not the issue. I mean, it's the execution of the offense. The Eagles last night, you play fast all you want, but if you're snapping the ball poorly, if you are throwing interceptions, if you are jumping off sides, false starts, misalignments, it's execution at this point. It's not the tempo of it. Doesn't seem to be. Look, I mean, the Chiefs, whether they, you know, a lot of people questioning the players who went down and slowed up the game. I mean, if that's their tactic and the NFL's not going to do anything about it, then every team's going to do that. So you lose the advantage with your tempo. But whether you're moving quickly or slowly, you have to execute. And the Eagles didn't execute last night.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I wanted to see exactly at this point, since we're at like a quarter amount of the season, of what our record would be heading into Denver. But yeah, it was pretty disappointing last night, seeing the way that they were playing. And I'm not sure exactly what to look for. I'm almost betting that we're going to be 1-3 after Denver.
Well, I'm not gonna go there. Thanks so much, Ty, for the phone call. I hear your concern, though. There's no doubt. Listen, it is a tough game going against Peyton Manning and Wes Welker and that crew in Denver. They score the football. Peyton Manning puts the ball in great spots, and they attack a defense. So Yeah, it's a great challenge for the Eagles coming up here. The Philadelphia Eagles offensively, though, from the high of the first half against the Washington Redskins to now, you know, it's there have been some changes here. We look at the numbers from last night. 431 yards, and as Chip Kelly said after the game, the offense has proven that it can move the ball up and down the field, but you can't turn the football over. Five turnovers last night. Six penalties. Five of those penalties, I believe, in the second half on the offense. The rushing game going. LeSean McCoy, outstanding. A big run from Michael Vick. But the passing game, just struggling badly. And when you give up so much pressure as this offensive line gave up against the Chiefs, really makes it difficult to go. Now, LeSean McCoy, outstanding. Making people miss, finding holes. Outstanding job from LeSean McCoy. Look at that great patience right there. Stutter stepping until the hole comes open. And then when he sees a hole, he's through it. Running low, pads forward, lowering the pads. Just excellent job from LeSean McCoy running with power. Overcame a scary, scary injury. Leg injury that he suffered late in the first half. Ripped off his helmet. And I'll be honest with you, I was concerned. But he came back in the second half. And, of course, his touchdown run in the fourth quarter, giving the Eagles an opportunity. Just 7 points down. Late in the early in the fourth quarter, Eagles unable to get off the field. There's a knee injury, but what a night for LeSean McCoy. Another fantastic performance from him, 7.9 yards per carry, and outstanding. Chip Kelly meeting the media last night, in case you missed it, and he was honest. He answered the questions, some tough questions. We take a look back at some of the key points Chip Kelly made after that loss to Kansas City.
Can't win a football game when you turn the football over like that. We're not blaming it on anything except our poor execution. But we gave up too much pressure tonight. You know, a lot of times they're just rushing four and they're getting to the quarterback extremely quickly. And you know, we're not even getting to the top of our drop and we're getting too much pressure. And we can't, you know, put Mike in a lot of bad situations. You know, and I think we've got to clean that up.
They kind of rotated the safety over the top a lot. You know, and we're always, if Flowers was underneath them, they were kind of working to get him help. You know, we got him free on that one. If you watch it, they were leaning heavily towards him, which I would do too.
And it's about execution, and that's what this game's all about. We have to come back and not put ourselves in these situations. You can't turn the ball over like that in this league and expect to win. You know, we can move the ball up and down the field. I think we've proven that. But if we're going to put the ball on the ground, as we did a couple times in the first half, and throw interceptions, and that's not going to – it's not going to win football for us. And you can't lose a turnover battle. You lose a turnover battle, you're going to lose a football game. And, you know, I will credit our defense. I thought they played with a lot of heart. I thought they played with great effort. You know, but we come out of the first half, at least, when, you know, with just that many points, we held them to, you know, and we gave them seven. And we gave them seven of those points and after only four turnovers. But we've got to do a better job on the offensive side of the ball executing. And we're not executing right now.
I don't know. A lot of times those deflections are, you know, it doesn't matter who you are unless you're – Will Chamberlain, you know, you're trying to throw the ball and the defensive line's getting their arms up. You know, I think we got to do a better job. I think it really comes down to protection, you know, and we'll continue to work on that. But I don't think, you know, Mike's got to shoulder all the blame on that.
Can't certainly turn the ball over like we did because it does put those guys back out there. You know, part of our job offensively is we need to hold on to the ball and sustain some drives, you know, so that we can get some plays run and try to get their defense gassed, you know, and that falls on us offensively from a responsibility standpoint. Is I've always said it's about plays run, and we're not running enough plays. We just can't go out there and throw an interception that's returned for a touchdown or then get a drive going and then put the ball on the ground. You know, we call them self-inflicted wounds, and we got way too many of them for us to be a successful football team.
Well, the Eagles opened the season against the Washington Redskins with great anticipation. A huge national television audience watching, and the Eagles came out defensively, forcing turnovers, and then offensively playing with a lightning speed and great precision and really walloping the Washington Redskins. Followed that game up with another big game against the San Diego Chargers, but in game number three, it really fell apart for the Eagles against a veteran, solid, attacking Kansas City defense. You see the stark difference statistically for the Eagles. Big difference in points, half the points scored. Eagles still moved the football on Thursday night, but not effectively once they got into Kansas City territory. And again, the turnovers just unable to overcome that. Nothing in the red zone against Kansas City. Plays certainly down a bit. The rushing yards, huge last night, but look at that difference in passing game. In the NFL, you must throw the football effectively to win games. Eagles did not do that. Two interceptions, and as you see, just 171 yards against Kansas City. The offensive players last night in the locker room at Lincoln Financial Field reacting after the 26-16 defeat.
You know, we had to bounce back fast after playing Sunday and come back to Thursday night. But, you know, I feel mentally we prepared. We did things we needed to do to go out there and, you know, get a win. But, you know, it just wasn't rolling our way tonight. So we credit the other team, you know, get a couple of days off and come back, you know, looking forward to Denver. Just didn't really happen tonight like that. So it was just a tough loss. You know, they came in, they beat us. 0-2 at home, that's not a good feeling. And, you know, we got a fair way to, you know, get things turned around. Yeah, I mean, we felt we was in the game, you know, throughout the whole game. Even with four turnovers going into halftime, down by 10, getting the ball back. We had a pretty good drive and things like that, but it was just tough situations. We put our defense in some bad situations, and, you know, offensively, we wasn't really able to, you know, go out there and do what we need to do to win the football game.
Yeah, I really don't think it's a defense that can just physically just go out there and beat us. I think it's just a matter of us offense, us going out there and playing. And if we don't play well, we don't play well when we lose in the shows. I don't think it's a matter if it's a defense stopping us. Since, I mean, these three games we had, I don't see it. I mean, Chip is human. I think it's the same guys on defense. They get paid, you know, so I don't think teams can really stop us, but I think there's times where they will stop us. Maybe a series or two or a quarter or so, but it's the NFL, you know, so they have tons of Pro Bowls over there. We have one over here, so, I mean, it's football, it's some of the best. Yeah, just, I mean, when it happened, just the way I landed, I felt pain right away, you know, and I couldn't really press on it. And I had that type of injury before, you know, so I kind of felt the same type of pain. That's why I thought it was something serious.
I mean, they did what we thought they were going to do. They played single high man. I mean, that's just what they did. I mean, we knew that coming in. That's what they were going to do. It was going to be a, you know, man beat man game. So we didn't come through. Turnovers. Everyone's going to be talking about it. Turnovers. I mean, you can't have five turnovers in a game in high school and win. So. Got to get that corrected.
You have to realize that you can be your own worst enemy sometimes and focus on doing the things. Vince Wilfork told me the best thing to talk to him when we played him this year. He said, man, if you can eliminate the self-inflicted wounds, you guys will do real well. Don't give them extra yards with penalties. Don't turn it over to them. You're going to win games just off that alone. And we haven't done that. It's showing. Well, it's you go out and try to play as hard as I can for Jesus Christ, always. And no matter what the score is. And you don't think about making a one-hand play when you're playing. You know, I don't believe in practicing one-hand catches. I think that if you just play hard enough and you focus and concentrate, you know, things that happen, God-given ability. But we came up short tonight, way short, you know, when it comes to just self-inflicted wounds. And we got to, you know, eliminate us from being a part of the outcomes of games.
Frustrated group, continue to work hard. A lot of talent on this offense, and the offensive line will come together here in time just to step back, certainly, against the Chiefs. Now, the theme last night, though, it was turnovers. And it started early with DeMarcus Johnson fumbling the punt on a fair catch. That led to 3 Kansas City points. Michael Vick. Following that with an interception that he threw, we see here Johnson, just a simple play, a fair catch inside the 10-yard line. This can't happen. It did. Special teams, part of the struggles last night. Then Michael, his throw deflected by Derek Johnson into the hands of Eric Berry, returned for a touchdown. Michael Vick not pleased with the way things went last night. Bad snap there. You take a look at the turnovers, first quarter, the punt, then Vic follows with the interception, and then the bad snap from Kelsey. Second quarter, Riley Cooper, the intended target on a pass that Michael just threw poorly, said it was a misread on Vic's part. In the fourth quarter, late in the game, Vic tackled for a loss, fumbles, and it was just the play that crystallized everything that happened for the Eagles that night. Just a lot of pressure on Vic. Ball comes loose. And afterward, Michael spoke with candor about how disappointed he was in the performance against the Chiefs.
First interception, the thing is, what hurt so much about that play is, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I had press coverage on one side, and I just tried to take the easy way out. If I just throw the fade on the other side, it never happens. And, I didn't make a good throw, made a poor decision, bad ball, and it's something to learn from. And, I never second-guess myself like that again. It was really nothing different. Like I said, I predetermined what I was going to do and then second-guess myself. I had the right decision that I was going to make in my mind. It was the correct decision, and I tried to do something outside of the box, and it didn't work out for me. The second one was just a misread, and I missed him. And, those plays you can't have against a good defense like this. You've got to make every play count. And, I solely take responsibility for what happened tonight. I was in control of the offense, and I didn't get the tempo going. I didn't, move the ball the way we were supposed to move the ball. I didn't get the guys going the way I was supposed to get them going, and we just didn't execute. And they were the better football team. Yeah, we had the turnover, and then we get a score, and then we come back, and we have a good field position. We have another turnover, and then, you're moving the ball, and you have another turnover. And it's hard to get into a rhythm. Next thing you know, it's halftime, and, you got to come back out, and you're down, and you got to score points. The good thing is, we know exactly, why we didn't play the type of game that we wanted to play, and we got to go back to the drawing board, regroup, and figure this out. But, I'm confident that we will, and we got some time to do so, and we got to get ready to go to Denver. Well, I think teams are just coming out and just, playing, basic vanilla defense. There's not too much they can do, and it's just mano-a-mano. It's man-on-man. And, I think our coaches are capable of figuring it out what we need to do to help us, put ourselves in better positions. And, I can say our coaches, but it all starts with us at the end of the day. We're the ones out there playing. All 11 guys take care of their responsibilities, and everything tends to work. And we just have to, hold ourselves accountable and responsible and watch the film, work harder, and bounce back. They did a good job in coverage. The one thing I could say, they're a very smart defense. They knew exactly where their responsibilities were. Safeties covering number three and putting themselves in a position to make the plays that, they were making. And that's credit to them. They put themselves in a position to be successful in this football game. And, to say that, we didn't, do our jobs correctly is probably the only way I can put it. Like I said, we got to go back to the drawing board. We got two losses outside of the conference. We got to stay focused on what the big picture is. And if we do that, then we'll be all right. But we have to take care of, of our business internally first. Well, we'll watch the film and figure out what needs to be corrected, what has to be done. Coach Kelly's a smart coach. He'll figure something out. But we got to start faster. We got to score more points. And we can't leave any stones unturned. We got to put our defense in a position to, call different defenses and play the way they're comfortable playing. Like I said, put ourselves in a position to just score points.
All right, that's quarterback Michael Vick after the loss on Thursday night to the Kansas City Chiefs. We take a look at some more of the nuances of this Philadelphia Eagles offense and where the big plays coming from. DeSean Jackson, a big 40-yard catch, 7 targets, 3 receptions. Need more from him. Nice game from Jason Devon, a touchdown catch, 8 targets, 5 catches, 87 yards. And Riley Cooper, 7 targets, just 2 receptions, 29 yards. Got to get the ball outside, got to get the ball down the field. And the Eagles unable to do that against Kansas City. Interesting, where are the tight ends. Where are they? Where's Zach Ertz? Where's James Casey? Where's Brent Celek? Kansas City did a very nice job covering up Ertz and Celek. Michael Vick struggling, no question about it. Quarterback rating of just 49.4. His first poor performance after two superb outings. And we take a look at Michael Vick for the year. Very strong, but those two interceptions last night really hurting the Eagles in their opportunities and the chance to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We take some phone calls on the other side, 215-339-6709. Let's hear from the fans. What's on your mind? Eagles 1-2, weekend off, long wait before we go out to Denver and play the Broncos. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Chip Kelly's press conference coming up in a few moments. Stay with us. In the meantime, let's talk about the Eagles. We want to hear from you. Come right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
We're drinking Dunkin'.
We're drinking Dunkin'. Go Eagles!
Dunkin' gives me the boost I need.
Pumpkin iced whipped cream. Perfect for fall.
Medium hot, cream and sugar.
No other way to drink it.
America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, $1 Million Spectacular, with five top prizes of $1 million. It's kind of fun to knock it out of the park. Keep on scratching.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' all day. Go Eagles!
French vanilla, hot ice. Love them both.
Iced, of course.
Hot coffee, extra cream, extra sugar.
My city, my coffee.
America runs on Duncan.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
It's time for our Amoroso's on the menu feature. We obviously love to tailgate, and Amoroso's, they have the goods to make it work. This week's recipe, which can be found in the fan zone, our Amoroso's on the menu section, the tailgate section. For those of you who are hungry, and it is the lunch hour, I have an amazing sandwich in front of me. Let's take a look at what's in this whopper of a sandwich. It is, look at that. That is some pulled pork. We've got some coleslaw, a little barbecue sauce, and of course those Amoroso's Kaiser rolls. 4 ounces of pulled pork to each Kaiser roll. Spread a half ounce of barbecue sauce on top of that, a little coleslaw. And you've got yourself four delicious sandwiches. And I'm going to take a bite of one right now. Get this camera on me right now. Here's a little bite of my sandwich, okay? And the best part is the Amoroso's roll. Oh, gosh, I love Amoroso's. Check it out in the fan zone on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to get to some phone calls. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Let's go to E in New Jersey, who joins us here. E, Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? That sandwich looks good.
It is. It's an excellent sandwich. It's the highlight of the day so far, other than, of course, talking to you.
Good. I got some things to talk to you about. Okay. Firstly, I think the Eagles are kind of missing Jeremy Maclin as far as defenses are rolling coverages to Deshaun. And then I really think our first-round draft pick, Johnson, he needs some help as far as maybe chip blocks or –
You know, I hadn't. Let's talk first about Maclin. Agreed. You know, you don't lose a player of that caliber without feeling it. He's got the speed to get down the field. Eagles missing that second player with a lot of speed. I thought going in here that DeMarcus Johnson might make more of an impact. He hasn't really played at all from the line of scrimmage. And there's no question, Jeremy Maclin is missed in this offense. Lane Johnson, I thought, was excellent throughout training camp. And for the first couple of weeks of the season. And then on Thursday night, just took a step back, and Eagles did not adjust, and Justin Houston had a big, big night.
I feel like that's expected, though, with a rookie. I know he has to step up, but I feel like he'll get better as the season goes along. And also, I'm worried about James Casey not playing as far as just not being...
Yeah, there's a lot of packages in this offense, and we've only seen pieces of it. Eagles seem to be running predominantly what they call the 11 personnel, and that's three wide receivers, one tight end, and one back. So, you know, there's been a little bit of Ertz in there as well. When we all went through the whole thing putting the draft together, and when the Eagles drafted Zach Ertz, Chip said that he would see at times two and three tight ends on the field. And then I think we all kind of ran with it and said, this offense is going to look like the New England Patriots offense in terms of how they use the tight ends. They have not used the tight ends that way to date.
Yeah, and lastly, I just wanted to say, I really think other defenses do a very good job of as far as shutting us down as in receivers. You saw Sean Smith against Riley Cooper the other day, but I feel like our cornerbacks are playing, they're playing okay, but I feel like we don't necessarily have someone who can shut down a receiver in that sense or just take them out of the game or just really mitigate their effect. What would you think about that?
Yeah, you're talking about matching up with wide receivers. The last 2 weeks, these have not been great receivers. I mean, Donnie Avery was a first-round pick, but he's had some injury problems. You know, Eddie Royal last week for the Chargers bounced around a little bit. Good player. These are not dominating wide receivers. Mm. So,
all right.
I just thanks for the phone call, but I agree. The defense and we anticipated growing pains. You don't change your entire personnel. You don't change your coaching staff. You don't change the scheme from a 4-3 to a 3-4 without anticipating and expecting some growing pains. And that's where the Eagles are defensively. Now, they played a better game last night. They were sound early on. They kept this football team in the game. The opening kickoff was returned in Eagles territory. Defense gets a three and out. Johnson fumbles the punt. Eagles get a three and out and hold on to a field goal. They kept the Eagles in the game despite three turnovers in the first half, I think. Right? So it's still a game at halftime. But in that fourth quarter, you've got to come up with a stop. You can't let Kansas City go down the field from their own 5-yard line and line up after 8.5 minutes and kick a field goal to give you, you're staring at a 10-point deficit at that point. Eagles have not done a good job these last 2 weeks of taking the times when they've had an opportunity to seize momentum and hold on to it and reverse the game. It happened a lot last year, too. All right, let's go to Florida and talk to Warren. Warren joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Warren.
How you doing?
Warren, hurting, man.
I know. Listen, to be honest with you, I feel like the defense played well. Even though they made some critical errors, I felt that they had played better than they did even in last season. I mean, they kept Jamal Charles down to 95 yards, and they stopped him except for the end of the third quarter when he had that huge run and then, of course, the touchdown. But I thought they'd been playing well. My main concern is with the defense is that they always seem to be open in the middle.
Yeah, that's
the teams in the middle is going to be, you know, the Patriots and even the Giants. They always seem to be open in the middle, and I don't understand that because other teams are able to cover that middle because we can't, if our offense can't take an opportunity to seize that. We never run plays down the middle. There's always some deep pass. There's never a dump out, or, you know, you're going to hand it off to the running back. And that's what I don't understand. I have a hard time understanding why we can't develop that kind of an offense that seizes that opportunity.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I mean, the middle of the field has hurt the Eagles the last 2 weeks. I'm not smart enough to tell you why that is. I know Chip, I would almost guarantee he'll be asked about it. It seemed like last week the Chargers lined up with stacked receivers and then kind of crossing routes and rubbed off one of the cornerbacks. There wasn't either communication or they didn't pass off or somebody got caught up in a pick.
It never gets corrected in the game.
Agreed. Last night, the Chiefs ran the play over and over and over again, and it was not corrected. Yeah. And we'll talk. We're gonna show you. Thanks for the call so much, Warren. We will shortly here go back to last night's postgame show, and Jeremiah Trotter took a look at those plays. And from his perspective, former linebacker, of course, told you what was wrong with the Eagles' defense there. And in talking to Trot, he would like to see the linebackers play more downhill, not wait for the ball to get to them. They're kind of catching the running back, catching the tight end, catching all of these ball carriers. And Trotter's approach was play downhill. And there are times when the Eagles' linebackers have done that. There are also times when they've been making tackles from behind, and that's not a good thing. Bob in Virginia joins us on Eagles Live. Bob, good afternoon.
How are you, Dave?
I'm hanging in there, Bob. I mean, there's growing pains here. I guess we got to let this thing settle in and see where the Eagles are at from 1 week to the next, and then at the end of the year, really judge them. But disappointed to be 1-2. I want to win a game at home.
It would be nice, and I hurt. Yeah. But I bummed you out because I broke the rules on Tuesday. I was one of your winners. I knew the rules, but I had to be honest, and I didn't want to bum you out. And I hurt when the Eagles lose. I am truly happy for Andy Reid. And the comment that I want to make is, you know, we have all these new coaches and new players, but that team looked reminiscent to me of the team that's lost 8 games in a row at home. And we've got all this new personnel, and it's going to take time. But, you know, Andy went in there, and they're 3-0. We're 1-2, and we're looking the same. Well, I see the constant here is Michael Vick, the line. People are back healthy. Why do we look as though Andy's still coaching us, and it's the 11th season and the 12th season?
But understand that Michael wasn't alone last night. Michael was pressured. I mean, and he made some mistakes.
Well, Lane Johnson was like a revolving door.
Yeah, he didn't play well, but neither did Jason Peters. And I know they were worried about Don Terry Poe up front, and the Chiefs really mixed up the pass rush very nicely. I thought at times they mush rushed. At times they seemed to mush rush. At times they came after Vic, and the combination worked very well.
Well, you know, Peters coming back off that injury, he's great and all that, but sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes you never come back to the form you were at. So with these question marks, but I'm seeing breakdowns with our right guard. I'm seeing breakdowns at center. I'm seeing, like, trickery, and everybody laughed with that kickoff return we tried last year with the guy laying in the end zone. But now it seems to be the same. It's the same kind of stuff we've been watching for the past 2 seasons, and we've changed coaches and we've changed players. And we're doing trickeries and whatever, and we're getting beat. And, yes, it hurts me. But am I happy for Andy Reid? Yes. Am I happy for Donovan McNabb? Yes. Will I always bleed Eagles green? Yes. But I can't call and predict a victory if I don't see one happening. And I don't care about the prize, and I don't want you to be bummed at me.
Oh, Bob, of course not. I would never question your loyalty or love for the Eagles.
28 years of season tickets.
I know.
Six and a half hours away, man. I love the Eagles. I cry when they lose.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Thanks for the call. Nobody's question. So to explain the backstory here is that we take predictions each week, and Bob called in last week and predicted a Chiefs win. And, you know, gave him a little heat for it because we don't want to think that way. But he was speaking from the heart, not questioning your loyalty or your love for the Eagles, Bob. I understand, and I understand you're hurting today just like everyone else. It's been a tough day. 215-339-6709. We take a break here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Dave Spadaro with you. Coming up in a few moments, Chip Kelly's press conference the day after his tough loss to the Chiefs. What did the film study reveal? The head coach will be along shortly to tell you about it.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Maybe I should get that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Brian Urlacher?
I'm back to defend you from DirecTV's latest offer. With DirecTV, your bill more than doubles after a year.
Not cool.
And they lock you into a 2-year contract that could cost you over $3,000.
That's a lot of cheese.
That's why the smart play is Xfinity. They've got everything a football fan could want. Go long. Don't get sacked by DirecTV. Oops. Xfinity is your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Cancer can move fast, but Jefferson is keeping our patients ahead of it. With the fastest growing medical oncology program in the region, treating cancers with a team of multi-specialty experts who work together to provide seamless care. Helping us earn NCI designation and widespread respect. Cancer has a strategy. Divide and conquer. That's why we give our patients our undivided attention.
Discover the difference Jefferson's Kimmel Cancer Center makes. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, Dave Spadaro with you here. We neglect to talk about the special teams, and we can't do that in the course of a win or a loss. It is all three phases of the game that contribute, and on Thursday night, the special teams struggled against Kansas City, opening the game with a 57-yard kickoff return from Quinton Demps, and from that point on, the Chiefs really winning the battle on special teams. A fumble from Demaryius Johnson, a missed field goal from the Eagles, a missed opportunity as well in a 2-point conversion. Take a look at the special teams. They were outstanding in the first two games, but last night, not so much. And that 2-point conversion is really, from what I've understood, it is a call made at the line of scrimmage. If you see a matchup, if you see 6 against 5, you automatically are taught, and I think this is not just the Eagles, taught to do this anytime, to go for the 2-point conversion, the swinging gate. In this instance, early in the game, really just it kind of backfired on the Eagles there. The Chiefs made a good play and came from the inside and made the stop. And that negated that. So it was not a good night for special teams. Dave Phipps' group needs to bounce back from that one. All right, we talked about a little bit this defensive challenge, the problems on third downs. Last night, Donnie Avery had 3 receptions on third downs to convert third and 19. 3rd and 15, 3rd and 10. And on our postgame show presented by Rico, the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter, broke down exactly what went wrong with the middle of the Eagles' defense.
All right, thanks, Dave. Guys, let's go to the first play here. First, the Kansas City Chiefs has a spread formation. Now, you have to know your personnel. This guy standing right here, Alex Smith, he hasn't thrown a ball over 15, 20 yards all season long. Now you have the Eagles in the prevent defense, 3-man rush. They're dropping everybody back to the sticks. You got Donnie Avery up top. He's going to come in on a little shallow screen. All 3 receivers here are going to run straight up the field and block those guys. It's basically just a screen to the wide receiver coming underneath. And as we play it, you'll watch. Donnie Avery's coming underneath, catches underneath the route. You got 4 blockers out in front of him. Now at this point, it's a good play by the Kansas City Chiefs, but one of these guys has got to get off a block and get the defense off the field. But you see these guys, they're sticking on the blocks. Nobody comes off. Safety's back here. He's watching the whole entire play, but never comes up to make the hit. First down, Chiefs. Now we go to the next play. Pause it right there. Go back one. Next play, same exact formation. This is like the next series. Now you have third and 19. Three receivers up top, Donnie Avery at the bottom. Same exact formation. They run Donnie Avery underneath on a quick screen. Three guys out to block. Running back release out the backfield. You got four receivers downfield blocking. Let's play this. Third and 19, guys. Quick screen underneath. Somebody has got to recognize this formation and come up and make a hit and get the defense off the field. You can't keep dropping to the sticks. You can't go into prevent defense on third and 19. You got to put pressure on Alex Smith or go man-to-man, make the ball come out quick and make the tackle. Back to you guys.
All right, thank you very much, Jeremiah. That was from last night's post-game show presented by Rico. One more time with Jeremiah Trotter. A missed tackle from Michael Kendricks caught Trot's attention.
All right, guys. This particular play, you got first down here at the bottom. You look at the clock. 4 minutes left. Second. We got to get off the field. They come out with three wide receivers down here at the bottom of the screen. You got Trent Cole rushing here. He rushes, but after he didn't get there, he gave up on a rush and starts to drop back in pass coverage. You have to be relentless to the quarterback, which Trent Cole is normally is. I'm not sure what happened on this play. You got Jamal Charles who sneaks out the backfield, catches the ball for about 5 yards. Then you're going to have your linebacker, Michael Kendricks, drop here and miss a wide open field tackle. You have to break down, make that tackle, clear your screen, run the play. Now I'm thinking if Trent Cole keeps going to Alex Smith, maybe he get a sack. They lose Jamal Charles in coverage. Michael Kendrick makes the tackle. First down, and he's off to the races. Plays like this, guys, to get you beat. Back to you guys.
All right, so a good look at the Eagles and certainly a defense that played pretty well at times, no question. Didn't take the football away. I thought they stopped Jamal Charles early, and they really kept the defense, kept this Eagles team in the game on Thursday night, hoping for the offense to get untracked. Chip Kelly coming up in a bit. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. Wonder how you're feeling today, Eagles fans. Eagles 1-2. The defense up and down. They react to the loss. We see some of the third down woes that this team had. Big ones. 15 yards. Avery, another one. Third and 5. Third and 19. Donnie Avery as well. So these plays just cannot happen. Tight end McGrath, who was a third string tight end, hurting the Eagles as well. Middle of the field, doing damage against Philadelphia. And the Eagles defensive players talk about it following the 26-16 loss to Kansas City.
If I remember right, it was a crossing route, you know, and he just caught the ball and there was a missed tackle and, you know, he ran with it to get the first down. So obviously that's a huge play in the game, you know, and that cost us.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get away and get fresh going, you know, into the rest of the season. But, you know, you'll watch the tape. You look at the first, you know, couple games again. We'll go in and work out. I don't think anybody's going to get away for 3 days. We'll be in and out on our, you know, by ourselves. Well, you just take it one game at a time. I know. You know, for the defense, the Chargers game was tough. We came out and rebounded and played a lot better on defense. You know, we'll look at a couple plays that we want back, but I think there's definitely a lot of positives we can take from this game.
It's a tough loss. I mean, it is. But, hey, it's still early in the season. We got to find a way to, you know, bounce back from it and, you know, find anything we can find positive out of it and move forward.
That doesn't matter to us how long we're on the field, man. Some of those things, we kept ourselves out on the field longer than we should have. We had them in third and long situations, we miss a tackle or they make a play on us. So we kind of dug ourselves in a hole on some of those. But I felt like we responded well as a defense, even with the turnovers and the short field. We responded well, held them to field goals, and that's a positive you can take out of it. But like I said earlier, their defense outplayed our defense. So they got the turnovers. They were able to get the ball back to their offense. We weren't able to get in it defensively. It's tough. It's still going to be tough. You know, it's, you know, two losses in a row. It's tough. You know, you work so hard during the week to prepare to win a game and to come out and, you know, not get it done. It's tough. So we just, you know, have a extended period of time before we play again. So hopefully we can get things corrected and go, you know, play well on the road.
We were, you know, but it's just a little adversity. That's the way we look at it, you know, regardless of what happens, regardless of how many turnovers we have, we look at it as going out, you know, competing, you know, when we do go back out there, just, like I said, just a little adversity, you know. But, you know, we're going to watch film, look at film, and get better because the mistakes we made can be corrected and they will be corrected. And we did a pretty good job, you know, but we still can do better. We can always be better. And that's our goal, was to be better.
We all had a great week of practice, and we were, you know, we knew what we needed to do coming into this KC game. Made a few mistakes. Just got to tackle a little bit better and, you know, do some of the fundamental things better. But they got a lot of great receivers, and, you know, they use their guys well. And, you know, Avery's the fast, shifty guy, and, you know, they use him well in that offense. They get a lot of vertical routes, and then, you know, they slip him underneath everything, and, you know, because the underneath guys are dropping. So, you know, they did a great job with that. You know, we were itching to get that bad taste from last week out of our mouth. And but, you know, a loss is a loss, and there's always things we can correct and touch up on. So, you know, we're going to take the time and look at the film and learn from it and keep moving.
Phone calls on the other side, 215-339-6709. Let's talk Eagles at 1-2. Where do they go from here? Well, they go away for the weekend, get some rest. 3 games in 11 days taking its toll on this football team. And the Denver Broncos up next a week from Sunday. That will be challenging. The coaches for the weekend will do a lot of self-scouting and some evaluation. Try to figure this thing out in time to beat the Peyton Mannings next Sunday. When we return, some phone calls from you and Chip Kelly talking about what the film showed him on Thursday night. Coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
We're drinking Dunkin'. We're drinking Dunkin'. Go Eagles!
Dunkin' gives me the boost I need.
Pumpkin iced whipped cream. Perfect for fall.
Medium hot. Cream and sugar.
No other way to drink it.
America runs on Dunkin'.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Hey, Philly, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' all day. Go Eagles!
French vanilla, hot or ice. Love them both.
Iced, of course.
Hot coffee. Extra cream, extra sugar.
My city, my coffee. Philly runs on Dunkin'.
America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I'm Bill McGovern, outside linebacker coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you in just a couple of minutes here at the top of the hour. Chip Kelly will meet the media and have his press conference post-Chiefs, post-film review. So we'll find out what broke down against Kansas City. In the meantime, we take some phone calls. Zomp in New York joins us. Zomp, how are you today?
Hey, Dave, listen, man, I don't want you to get upset. You know, I just think that, I'm a diehard fan. You know this.
But yes.
I'm a truthful fan. I just want to tell you what the way I feel. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
So, I just feel that, the Trotter, what he just showed us, I saw a lot of off coverage, a lot of three down men, three linemen down. No pressure on the quarterback. I think we're all blinded by the fact that we played Alex Smith yesterday. Granted, he's to me an average quarterback. Nothing great. Just like Philip Rivers, nothing great. Average quarterback. These guys, it's like with Alex Smith, you got to pressure these guys. And it's like, granted, last week we tried to pressure, the blitz didn't come in, fine. I don't understand this off soft coverage, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 20. Jim Johnson in his grave, he's turning in his grave. He loved to always blitz, especially 3rd and long. By only having three down linemen, and everybody else in zone coverage, how do you compliment a bad secondary? You blitz them. You help them out.
Or you cover with eight and you have three people rush. I would attribute more of the defensive problems last night to poor tackling than wide open receivers. Even those crossing routes, the catches were made, but then players were being blocked out of the play or they were missing tackles. So
agreed. I agree with that. You're 100% right about that. It's a little bit of everything. I'm not just
This team is losing these last two games because of everything. Because the special teams aren't stepping up. Because the offense is not scoring touchdowns or keeping themselves on the field. The defense can't get off the field at the end of the game after playing a pretty solid game. Couldn't get off the field. So yeah, it's everything. In the NFL, the games are tight. Big plays dictate wins or losses. You can't make mistakes. Eagles are making far too many mistakes right now.
1,000% right. I mean, I can't agree more, but missed tackles, like you said, but in my opinion, I just hate it, and I think it's bound for disaster when you see three down linemen and everybody at eight in coverage, especially against a guy like Alex Smith. There was a couple of times when we blitzed him, and he looked like he didn't know what to do, throw the ball out, just take the sack. Every time Billy Davis doesn't dial up that blitz on 3rd and long, and I see eight guys in coverage, it's bound for disaster. It's inevitable that you're going to see a breakdown in coverage.
All right, thanks, Zomp. Chip Kelly at the podium outside.
You guys are getting up about 330 passing yards a game and close to 70% completion through three games. What options do you have? I know it's not all the secondary with those numbers, but any options personnel-wise, starting-wise, snap-wise, or do you feel like you have the guys in place to get the job done?
No, I think everybody's, obviously I think we were better in the Chiefs game than we were in the Chargers game. But pass defense, I've said before, is everybody. It's generating a pass rush, letting quarterback feel comfortable, being close in coverage, and it's a combination of all those things. So we did make an adjustment, bringing Vinny up and activating him, and he got a pressure and a sack. That going into, you're going to go play probably the best, if not in the top two or three in the league, in quarterback and Peyton Manning. So, I think, again, it's a combination of all those things. But, Earl played a little bit more. Although I thought Nate played well too, they're growing, they're learning. It's a new system. It's a lot of new faces, and something we'll continue to work on and coach on.
Head coach, you haven't experienced losing very much, especially losing streaks. So, what do you draw on when you face this kind of adversity?
I think you draw on the positives. What did you do well, and then look at what correctable mistakes occurred in the game and address them. And that's what I talked about in the locker room after the game with our guys, is that the people that are going to fix this right now were in the locker room last night. It's our coaching staff and our players, and we'll get together as a group and get ready, put a game plan together to go play the Broncos. But, I don't think the one thing I do know about it, when you do lose, you can't feel sorry for yourself. That's not going to solve any problems. It's about, kind of putting your head down and going to work and understanding that mistakes are made, but if you continue to make the same mistake, then that's where we really have an issue. So let's fix what we saw that went wrong on Thursday night and try to build upon it.
What's Jones' status?
From what Deuce told me, that he's going to be okay. You know, I think he's got a shoulder contusion of the muscle. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if we had a game today, he wouldn't play. But from what they said, they think he should be ready to go for practice on Tuesday.
Some of the offensive players said yesterday, a number of them, that they were doing a lot of man defense with the single high safety, and that was one of the reasons why Mike was in the pocket, took him a while to complete some of those passes. Is that just a matter of winning individual matchups, or is there something within the scheme that can get those guys?
A combination of both, you know, dialing up the right play calls versus that, and then guys, when they have the opportunity, guys are getting singled, you got to get alpha coverage, you know, and be able to uncover yourself a little bit. That's where you also saw Mike, you know, taking advantage of it in the run game, because then there's no one that's responsible for the quarterback. So, I think it's a combination of both those things.
Do you have an opinion on anyone else, Vic, or health-wise?
Vic's fine. Everybody's fine. Except for the only guy was Pat, and they think Pat will practice on Tuesday. So besides that, we're healthy.
Chip, you said before that time possession doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but like the last two games, you guys obviously, I mean, it's been like 2-1 basically.
Yeah.
But also plays run.
Time possession means nothing. It's plays run. And they're running a lot more plays, and we're not running enough plays. So that's what I mean, and that's the whole argument that I've always had with the time possession, because a team can hold it for 40 minutes, but if they run the same amount of plays, that's a different deal. But right now, plays run. We're not running enough plays on offense. We turn the ball over too much offensively. We're not executing the way we're supposed to execute, and that's what we have to do to be able to keep our defense off the field.
Casey was in for one play, one offensive snap. What does he need to do to get more of a role in this offense?
No, I think we've got some competition, and the one guy I'll tell you that has really stepped up throughout anybody on our offensive team has been Brent Celek. And I think Brent's done an outstanding job, has really practiced at a real high level since camp. When you see him on the sideline and you see how fresh he is, I know he's a little bit of an older player in this team, but when I look at Brent on the sideline, I don't know if we have a fresher guy, and I think that's a credit to him and the conditioning that he's done. But I think we're getting production out of that position. You know, and a lot of times, in terms of playing multiple tight ends, it depends on what you want to face. You know, and if you go smaller, they go smaller. You know, and you try to hopefully we can get some favorable matchups in that situation. So it's not something that Casey's not doing. I think it's just a coaching decision that we feel comfortable in 11 personnel at times and 10 personnel, and that doesn't have many tight ends in the game.
Effectiveness as a blocker make it more necessary for him to be out there for more snaps than the other guys?
Combination of it. You know, I think he's the one total guy we got that is an outstanding blocker. But, you know, when he had a big catch there at the end, had a touchdown catch in the Redskins game, I think he's played really, really well, and I think it's a credit to Brent less than it's a knock on Case, to be honest with you.
You talked last night about pressure and blamed a lot of that for Michael's struggles. After watching the film, what did you think of Michael's performance?
I thought Mike played okay. He has played better, but it's always a combination. Unfortunately, and I know you hear that word from me, but it really truly is that it's a team game and it's not always on one guy, you know. So we got a couple balls tipped. We got to get some guys' hands down. We got to be able to stand in the pocket at times when we've got a situation where we got to be able to get to the top of our drop and not give up so much pressure. And then there are times for Mike where the ball's got to get out a little bit quicker in certain situations. So, but I thought Mike played okay. I thought he really kept some things alive with his feet and gave us a dimension from that standpoint. So,
developing plays, the bubble screens, the screens.
Yeah, I think when people start to play you man-to-man less, they take that screen element away because they're rolled up on guys. You know, but it's a catch-22 for people. If you are going to do that, then we have the opportunity like we did again with Deshaun going over the top. So, you kind of play that cat-and-mouse chess game with them of how they're going to develop and how they're going to do that. So, when they do roll up on everybody and play that, then there's no one covering the quarterback. So, Mike had an opportunity to rip off, I think it was a 61-yard run, but, they're in man coverage, so there's not any support from it. So it's kind of where you are from it. So,
getting back to the –
Sorry, guys. Hold on. That other phone was going, so I have no idea what's going on right now. You have a theme song going here?
In getting back to the tight ends, you obviously signed Casey, spent a second round pick on Ertz. And you spent a second round pick on Ertz, and both those guys are only on the field 20-25% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is this offense different than you envisioned it back in the spring?
No, I think this offense is predicated on who's making plays. Again, you see, Jason, when all of your decisions are made of who, if we put this guy in, who are we taking out? You know, I think part of it is I think Jason Avant's playing at a really high level as our leading receiver. You know, so if we're going to put a second tight end in the game, we're taking Jason out of the game. You know, if we're going to put another tight end, are we taking Brent out of the game? I think both Jason and Brent kind of knew the situation coming in and have really embraced the competition and stepped up their game. So I think it's more of a credit to Brent and Jason than it is, you know, where are we from a standpoint of do we want to play two tight ends, three tight ends. But whenever you make those decisions, is part of who's going in is who's coming out.
Looking back at that 2-point conversion, you had numbers, you had 6-on-5, but Lane doubled that one guy. Did you practice for someone being out that far? Was it just kind of just a missed assignment, basically?
Missed assignment. You know, they got five guys, we got five guys, should have blocked a 5-on-5, and we got a shot at it.
Lane seems to have started off pretty well in that first game, and he's obviously a rookie. There's going to be some growing pains, et cetera. What do you guys have to do to kind of get him back on track moving forward?
We just have to continue to grow him. You know, the one thing I know about Lane that we love about him is that he very rarely makes the same mistake twice. You know, so part of this game is that you're a byproduct of your experiences, and Lane's experience so far is, you know, three regular season games and a handful of snaps in the preseason. So, you know, again, he's a real student of the game. You know, he's new to the position, you know, just because of how little he's played offensive line in his career. You know, a lot of guys are career offensive linemen. Again, he was a quarterback coming out and then played tight end, then played defensive end. Got all the athletic ability in the world, all the toughness in the world, and he's a really quick learner and a great guy to coach. It's just, you know, there's so many situations that come up that all of a sudden you're like, all right, now we got to cover this with him. You know, and for anybody, I think, playing this game, you can talk about things all the time, but until they actually do it or you get an opportunity to be in that situation, you know, those are the real true learning experiences for him. So, you know, I think he's just young, you know, and in this league, if you're young, you're going to make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, the key is to not continue to make the same mistakes. And I think that's the good thing with Lane. But, you know, there's going to be new things that come up in the Broncos game that he may not have seen yet. But we'll coach him up on it and continue to grow him. But I think he's got a bright future here. So.
Can you talk about your philosophy of 2-point conversions versus the extra point? The advantage of being aggressive at times and how you kind of plan on doing that going forward?
We're just trying to, you know, it was a situation. We practiced it for a while. You know, you get an opportunity to get an extra point, you know. And in this game, you know, every game's close. You know, and if you get a chance to steal a point here or there, in the long run, it can really benefit you. So, you know, that's always been our philosophy. The ball's on the 2-yard line. You know, it's almost if we get a hat on a hat and Zach Ertz falls forward, you know, you're in and you get 2 points instead of 1 point. So that's really been our philosophy. Does it mean we're going to do it all the time? No, I think you pick and choose it. So.
Chip, the team has been on since you've gotten here. Everything's been great. It's been positive. You lose 2 tough games. How do you, or is there a team leader that's got to keep everybody together, especially with another tough game?
No, I think fortunately for us, we have a bunch of leaders, you know, and I think that's a that will become evident as we continue to grow. But I think, you know, I would argue with the point that it has been great all the time. We've already faced some adversity. We've faced some adversity in camp. And I think our leaders showed up in those situations. And in this game, you know, in this league, winning football games is a difficult task. You know, I think everybody understands that. And it's about really kind of getting your mindset and getting into a rhythm of, you know, every week is a season, you know, and whether you won or lost last week is really irrelevant, you know, in terms of moving forward. So, you know, if you win, you can't be patting yourself on the back too long because the next team coming is hunting for you. And if you lose, you can't be licking your wounds too long because the next team coming is hunting for you. So, you know, we need to continue to move on. They've got a break here. And we had always planned it this way, you know, playing the first 3 games in 11 days. You know, they get an opportunity to get away here for a weekend. But I know for the amount of time I've been around this group, I know the team that will come back on Tuesday and get ready to go to work and can't face a bigger challenge than going to play the Broncos in Mile High Stadium. So I know that will get our attention, and I know we'll be ready to play.
Jared, when you look at Michael last night, he was really starting to force the ball into coverage a little bit more, especially to Riley Cooper. That wasn't what he was doing in training camp, and maybe something he had done in years past. Is he regressing, or is that just a product of him trying to do too much?
No, and I don't think he was forcing it into that situation. I think he threw the ball on the back shoulder. You know, I think more of a location situation. If he puts the ball out in front of him, I think we got a good throw. So, but in this, you know, when you play this game, it's that close. You know, you put the ball out in front, boy, what a hell of a throw. You know, you look at the ball he threw to Brent Celek for a touchdown. He fitted in between three guys in a Washington Redskins game, and we're all high-fiving each other saying, what a great pass by Mike. If that's on the back, it may get picked. But everything's close in this league. It's his location on that particular play wasn't where it should have been. You know, but I don't think he was forcing the ball in there.
Do you feel like he's missed some throws, though? I mean, I think he was 13 out of 30 last night. He seems to have missed some throws that he normally makes. Anything with his feet being set, or did you look at that?
Did he miss some throws? Yeah. But in the opening game, he missed a couple throws, too.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Really threw out the hole.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's still right now playing at a pretty good level. And I think that's the one thing. With that position, you're always going to get scrutinized. And it comes with the territory. Mike knows that. I know that, and that's part of this deal. You know, we expect them to be perfect on every play and put the ball in the proper location and make the proper read, and sometimes that doesn't happen, you know. So we got to continue to coach him and put him in situations where he understands it, and let's go over it and let's review it. Have there been some throws that he's missed? Yeah, there's been some throws he's missed.
In a row of multiple missed tackles on defense, why is that happening?
It depends on the individual play that you're talking about, but I think a lot of times, sometimes it's the fundamentals. Are we getting 11 guys to the ball? Is everybody running to the ball? Are we wrapping up or running through the tackle, or are we just catching? You know, sometimes when I think they're all different variations, but every single one of them is addressed and covered with our players, and we'll continue to cover those things.
We might get a chance to look at it defensively on tape, and they kind of kept you in the game with all the turnovers and keeping the points down. Yeah. How did you view their overall performance?
I thought they did an outstanding job. You know, in that first half, you know, we let the opening kickoff gash us a little bit and get the ball out almost to midfield. Our defense goes on the field, stops them. They punt the ball to us, and then we fumble the punt. You know, and they still hold them to 3 points with the ball, you know, inside the in the red zone. You know, and then our offense goes out in the field and throws an interception that's returned for a touchdown. But I thought our defense really battled. They're playing with great effort. You know, and that's the one thing that they do control and that they do have a say in, and I think I'm happy with them there. Can we make a couple more tackles? Yeah. Can we do a better job of getting them off the field on third and long situations? Yeah. But I think for how they played, and, you know, I think, you know, coming out of the Chargers game, I think they responded and played a lot better. I just think offensively and special teams-wise, we didn't do a good enough job as a team, you know, to beat a team like the Chiefs. You know, and it's got to be all of us. You know, it just can't be one phase clicking. And I think defensively we played well. Offensively and special teams, we didn't.
On the topic of the punt return, you called Demers shorthanded last night, but there was an issue in the preseason, and that's not a position where there's much margin for error. What's your patience level with him as
the punt return? Issue wasn't the catch in the preseason. The issue was he got stripped. You know, and that's a ball security after it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got to get that straightened out because, you know, putting the ball on the ground in those situations is unacceptable.
And at Oregon, did opposing defenses, players on those, when they go up against your up-tempo, was there a lot of cramping, guys needing time?
There were guys that got injured when they played against us, yeah.
More than typical?
What's that? I don't have the statistics compared to everybody else nationwide, so.
What'd you make of the cramping? Yesterday.
I don't, you know, never ever going to get into that. We need to execute better and not turn the football over. So that's the least of my worries right now.
Will you guys do anything differently or anything to prepare for, like, the altitude in Denver in practice this week? I mean, do you think that might even be a factor?
You know, no, I mean, football itself is an anaerobic sport, you know, so we're not conditioning and playing it, you know, I think it affects from what we did when we were at Oregon, and we talked about it because we played in Boulder, you know, similar situations. I think a lot of it's a lot more mental than it is physical. But in terms of us being able to construct a hyperbaric chamber over that football field, that's not going to happen. So, you know, we're at the same advantage that everybody advantage or disadvantage than anybody else is going in there. We're going to practice like we normally practice and train like we normally train and go out there and play football.
With this 4 days these guys have off, do you want them getting away from football totally? Do you want them studying, looking at film, or just kind of taking a mental break? Or does it depend on the guy?
It depends on the guy. It's their deal. You know, they knew what the schedule was going to be, and I think it's part of it. If you play a Thursday game, then you're going to be off on the weekend. So, you know, we didn't give him an itinerary or tell him to do this. I know they've talked to our strength and conditioning coaches. There's optional things for them. If they want to come in, those guys can come in. But, you know, some of them need a break. You know, some of them get a little bit of time away from here and just be ready. I told them we just be ready to come when you come back on Tuesday. We've got to be ready to go.
Peyton did in game one and just history in the game. I mean, how big of a challenge do you know you're going to be walking into?
It's a huge challenge. You know, he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks in the history of the league, not just this season. You know, and he's done it for such a long time. And, you know, he prides himself on his preparation. I think it's a huge challenge. And I think if you're a competitor, you're looking forward to it because, you know, we got a chance to practice for 2 days with Tom Brady, and I think that was a great experience for this football team, you know, and then get a chance to go play against someone like Peyton Manning is a huge challenge, and I think, if you're a competitor, you get excited about that opportunity. I've met Peyton. Yeah, I worked at the Manning Passing Academy a couple years ago. Hell of a guy, him and Eli and Cooper, Archie, the whole family, they're what football's all about. So it'll be a lot of fun to go compete against them.
Has the process been like figuring out what worked in college as compared to how it translates to the NFL? Yeah. Are there any examples of things that you feel like you've had to leave behind after going through a few games or going through the process?
I understand the question, but I don't look at it that way. Like we didn't look at this when we put a game plan together of, hey, this worked when we played against USC or UCLA or Stanford, so what's it going to look like against them? What do we like versus man coverage? What do we like versus single high safety? What's good versus two deep? What's good versus a three-man line? What's good versus 3-4 spacing, 4-3 spacing? So I don't look at it as this worked in college, this doesn't work here. It's, you know, it's still 11-on-11 football, and, you know, that game last night was a prime example of it. The game of football always comes down to, at the end of the day, no matter how you want to slice it, one-on-one battles. And the Kansas City Chiefs did a better job in one-on-one battles than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Are you open to changing tactics if you find out that going for two is not, you know, working to your benefit or something along that level?
No, I think you're overanalyzing the go for two. If we block that up the right way, we're 5-for-5, then we score. You know, so it's not, you know, going for it, not going for it. It's an opportunity when the situation presents itself. It's no different than if someone were to onside kick, but you decided to onside kick because the left tackle always bails really quickly when you watch film. And then if he doesn't bail quickly and you called the onside kick, then you say, are you going to change all your tactics? No, you're going to study film and say, do the numbers match up and can we get something here? And that's what we're looking to do. But it's not a tactic that worked at one level that doesn't work at another level. It's, you know, if I know whether you play Pop Warner football, high school football, college football, in the NFL, if you don't block a guy at the point of attack, he's probably going to make the tackle.
I know the run-pass ratio was skewed of last season because of the leads you had. But this year, what do you think of the run-pass ratio so far for you guys?
Ours?
Yeah. Is it what you would like it to be?
I don't have a preconceived notion of what it should be. What it should be all the time, to be honest with you, we should run the ball more than we throw the ball because that means we're winning and we're going to run the clock out. So, in the ideal world, I'd love to be in 4-minute offense for the entire second half and milking the clock. But that's not the ideal world. When we go into games, we don't say, hey, we got X amount of runs or X amount of passes. It's how are they defending us and what's going to work when they try to defend us in a certain manner. So that's what we look at when we're kind of game planning and looking at things and making decisions on play call stuff. It's not, hey, we got to be 60-40, we got to be 50-50, we got to be 55-45. It really depends. In an ideal world, I think you want to be able to run the ball more in the second half because that means you're winning. But that is not going to happen when you turn the ball over 4 times in the first half. I can guarantee you that one.
So, okay.
Thanks,
guys.
All right. That is head coach Chip Kelly. Very, honest in his answers and certainly is not undaunted, is not going to be deterred by his quest for excellence. But it's a lot of work to be done and a great challenge ahead with the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning next Sunday. The Eagles need to find some solutions offensively, defensively, and on special teams. At 1-2, hey, kind of knew it. This team has changed a lot. Coaching staff, roster, schemes. It's going to take some time to build it, so we will all go through this journey together. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. We are going to be back with you on Tuesday. We've got some great features for you throughout the weekend to keep you looped in to the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to thank you for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
He played the main baby.